Pastors, are you disobedient to parents? I'll behave my parents. How about the one who brought you to the Lord? How about your spiritual parents? Are you obedient to them? Unthankful. Unholy. Now, not all of these things apply to everybody. It's just, see, when you put a colon there, you can just have one or two. You're guilty. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affections. That sounds like effeminate to me almost. Where are we? Thank you. Truth breakers. That's somebody who will tell you they're going to do something and then not do it. False accusers. Incontinent. Fierce. Despisers of those that are good. Traitors. Heady. High-minded. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Now, how do I know this is talking about the church and not the world? Look at the next verse. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. He's talking about churches, folks. He's not talking about the world. He's talking about churches. He's talking about pastors. He's talking about these pastors that Jeremiah was prophesying against. Right on down into this day, in this time. Goes on. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. You go into a church and you find a church that's full of women and very few men, you know right there there's something wrong in it. This is how you make friends and influence people, Jeff. This is how you make people happy, by talking like this. Just thought I'd let you know that. Goes on, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I can remember a day in the Church of God, in the Church of God of Prophecy, in the Assemblies of God. Person had a problem that they couldn't do anything about, they couldn't control, or they were crazy. They just cast the devil out of them. They'd be delivered and healed. Amen? Now what do? They go to school and learn to be psychologists and psychiatrists. Now, I expected that from some of these denominations, but I never expected it from the Pentecostals. And yet now the Pentecostals are really getting into this psychiatry garbage. Why? Because they want to please man. They want to look good before man and the world. They love the world more than they love God. They don't want to tell the truth. What's wrong with telling the truth? I love what Mike Dill said to that guy. It was flat out the truth. You're going to bust God, bust hell wide open. What's wrong with saying that? If you care about a person, why not tell them the truth? All right, you ready for the good part? Now, I've given you all this bad stuff. You ready to hear something good? Look at the next part. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith. It's another thing that shows you that they're going around preaching, claiming to be of God. They're reprobate concerning the faith. Now, Jannes and Jambres were the two false prophets that came against Moses. God took care of them in short order. Amen. He said that these men also, just like them, resist the truth. Verse 9. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men as theirs also was. That's the neat part. Here we're talking about crossing the River Jordan again. The only way to stop the mouths of these people is to cross the River Jordan and walk in the power of God. So when they try their trickery, you just say in the name of Jesus. And things start happening. Then the people look this, they look over here that, they look back, and they're going to take the right stuff. Amen? So I'm giving a warning here. I'm not just giving a warning to the church. I'm giving a warning to the pastors. And this that you say, well, you know, it's just us in the tent. Well, this is going out over radio. It's going to be going out on tape. It's going to be going out on video. It may even be on cable TV. So I'm speaking by faith to all those that are going to hear this, that are hearing it now and will hear it. Not only that, I'm speaking by faith in the Spirit. Because God's words are spirit. They're not just physical. They're just not natural. They're spirit. That's a thing that you need to get a handle on. When I speak a thing in the Lord, it's spirit. There doesn't have to be anyone around to hear it. It'll still come to pass. And the judgment is coming. The judgment is coming. It's knocking at the door. And it's not coming on the streets. It's not coming to the drug addicts. It's not coming to the prostitutes. It's not coming to those people out there. It's coming to the church. And it's going to start with the pastor. And it's going to go to the deacons. And it's going to go to the elders and the people in those churches and those people that think they're something, that think they can get away with some of the garbage they're getting away with. But let me warn you and be warned myself that which God has been telling us and telling us and telling us, take God serious. Paul put it this way. What was, don't be deceived. God will not be mocked. That's take God serious. Second, don't take yourself serious. You get to taking yourself too serious, you start getting pride. You start thinking you're better than someone else. No one in this tent is any better than anybody outside of this tent. We may have a blessing. We may have grace. We may have love. We may have Jesus Christ. There are others outside that also have that. Amen? But even those that don't have it in themselves are no better than we are, and we in ourselves are no better than they are. It's like you can have two Jack Russell puppy dogs from the same litter, identical markings, identical personalities. One is no better than the other. But if one belongs to me and the other belongs to you, mine's better. It ain't got nothing to do with the dog. It's got to do with the ownership. Amen? Your German Shepherd's better than anybody else's. Why? It belongs to you. Yeah, she loves you. Amen. Somebody understanding what I'm saying? The only thing that makes me different than anybody else is I belong to my master. And my master is the greatest master of all. Amen. There is no master greater. And everybody has a master. Everybody. Your master is either God Almighty, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel, the God of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who sent His Holy Spirit. He is either your master or Satan is your master. And if you think otherwise, then you're fooling yourself. There's no such thing on this planet as a free man or a free woman. The only freedom you have is in Jesus Christ. And you're still a slave. You're just a free slave. Amen? So let's get it right. And let us understand that there is a judgment coming. And this judgment that is coming fast. In fact, I'm going to tell you something. Keep your eyes on the newspapers. Keep your eyes on your newspapers, because I think this judgment is coming before we even take this tent down. I think we're going to start seeing it. That's not a thus saith the Lord. I just believe that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Y'all be seated. That's what we're going to be doing, tearing down high places of Satan. Tearing them down and breaking them down. Run off some devils. Amen?
Amen.
Let's see. Who can I pick on? What time is it anyway? 8:30. I got some time to play around here. Have fun. Oh, let's see. Miss B, why don't you come up here and say something for Jesus? She loves me. She's not liking me much right now, but she loves me.
Well, I can tell you a little bit about how I got here.
and how strong Jesus is within me now. It wasn't there a while ago until I came to this tent and I learned the power of I'm not a young lady, as you all know, but I feel younger than I have in many years because now I know my Jesus.
Give her a cheer. Praise God. You know, somebody asked me one time, said, why do you do that? Why do you have people come up and do that? Because, you see, by nature we fear things. Our flesh has gotten so used to fear that we don't know how to break it. And the best way to break it is face it. So sometimes I just get people to come up and face it. Come on up here, Cheryl. See, faith is made perfect how? In obedience. Amen. Or it gets its power in obedience.
He's great. My mind is blank. You stumped me. My mind is blank. I'm stumped. Got my dad to kick my butt. Told him what I was doing when I was trying to sneak around. He's gotten me busted.
She was obedient, but that'll teach me a lesson. No, it won't. Yeah, in case anybody wanted a translation of what she's saying, what she's trying to say is God's a tattletale. And if a father is walking in the Lord will show him when their children are messing up, and they can help get them straight. Amen? They won't get away with it. Jeff, come up here and say something for the Lord.
I remember I said I'd never do this again. How many of you guys know that God has a long memory and he loves obedience? And sometimes one act of obedience can carry you through some hard times. Even when you get very disobedient. I want to read a Psalms. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. In the assembly of the upright and in the congregation, the works of the Lord are great, sought out of all of them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He hath shown his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and revered or whatever is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. That struck me hard the other day. Because, as you guys know, has been pointed out, I got a deliverance here in this tent up in Berlin. And that's the second deliverance I got since I've been around this ministry. Two different deliverances. The first one was radical because God pulled me by the back of my neck and made me look at myself in the back seat of a car for about 45 minutes. It was just me in a car by my neck looking at myself. And it weren't pretty. If you've seen The Exorcist, you've pretty much seen what I look like. And this one just knocked me on the ground and delivered me. Bomb, boom, boom, done. You know, and he could have done it that way the first time. But he was teaching me something that I needed to learn. In both cases, it was an act of obedience that got me delivered. The Lord told me to do something, and I did it. That, you know, just a little bit of obedience. And the reward was them deliverances. So if the Lord's telling you to do something, do it.
Amen. Give the Lord a cheer. Praise God. Absolutely. Scott, come on up and say something for the Lord.
Being here in Claremont, I've listened a lot in the tent to the sermons, to the preaching. And one of the things that keeps getting clearer and clearer to me, and that I pray is clearer and clearer to all the people in the ministry, and I know that one day it will be clear to everyone, that the God that we serve, the God that Richard talked about that would bring judgment on the churches, that has brought light. When he said, let there be light, there was light. When he said, when Moses said, behold the power of your God, all these things that this God did that are now being ignored in the churches. The power of God to move in His people is not discussed. Psychologists and wisdom of men and all manner of philosophy are taught in the halls of men and in the halls of God. And God was showing me, as Richard was preaching, has a judgment on these things. He will not be mocked. And the God that we serve, as long as one of us has faith, and it's better when all of us have it, the God that we serve in one body, in Jesus' stead, is fully able to deliver us and deliver all those that He calls to His grace and mercy. Praise Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. You know, let me add a thing on that, Scott, because you're dead on the money. The one thing I forgot to say earlier is, do you know, even in God's judgments, there's love.
Yep.
Even in His judgments, there is love. Everything God does is motivated by love. He brings judgment not to punish, but to correct. He doesn't want to destroy the churches. He wants the churches to get it right.
Amen.
He wants them to walk in power and in might in His name. And if He has to bring some judgment to do it, then He'll do it for the sake of the whole church, to bring His people back together. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Something's been bugging me in the back of my head all night. Mindy. It's Mindy, right? You got sugar in the blood, don't you? You want to get rid of it? Huh? In Jesus' name, be healed. Now, you're going to continue as the doctor says, and you get a doctor check you out. Check your sugar. You check your sugar, right? Check your sugar. Huh? You haven't been doing it? Well, you need to check your sugar. You take insulin? Okay. All right. Just check your sugar and keep tabs on it and get with your doctor. You know, Jesus, when He healed the leper, said, go to the priest. Show thyself to the priest.
Yep.
Amen. But the Lord has been showing me for a couple of days. He wants to heal you. So you're healed. Amen. And there were some people here that have been wanting to see God move. They didn't come here tonight. So they didn't get to see it. You're going to get to hear about it. Amen. What are you playing for me, son? That sounds pretty good. Lord, we ask You to heal the land. Open the eyes of these people out here, especially the ministers, Lord. Open the eyes of the ministers and the eyes of the people in the church that they can know what You have for them. Amen. Brother Steve, you want to take over for me, sir?